Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And today we have Jamie joining us, and she's bringing a book called The Vanishing Half. Is that correct?
The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett.
And is it a literary fiction? Because it looks literary.
Yes, okay. I would categorize it as literary fiction. But don't let that scare you. It's not like heavy-duty literary fiction. It's very readable.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how depressing is it?
Oh my gosh. I'm not depressed. It's not depressing.
Okay, that's good.
Oh yeah, I think it's not depressing. Does it have a happy ending? Maybe not. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm
so
used to...
five on your scale.
I'm used to literary fiction, you know, having that kind of unresolved nebulous. But a lot of times, there's so much fiction out there that's literary that's just really depressing.
No, it's just a fascinating story.
Well, how about you tell us about it?
Okay, I will. So this is, I think, I may get this wrong, it's Britt's second book. Her first book was called The Mothers, and it did really well. This book actually debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list, which is really huge.
Yeah.
She's an African-American author, pretty young, so she's, I think, pretty surprised and happy with her success. The book, the plot is fantastic. It starts out in a tiny town in Louisiana called Mallard, which is, I would say, 100% African-American town. But what's really interesting about it is everyone there is extremely light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal to them. Color shade is a big deal. And these two twins, girls named Desiree and Stella, a little streetcar named Desire in there for anybody who's paying attention, they grow up in this town. And when they're teenagers, they decide to leave. So they leave and they go to New Orleans and they get jobs and a lot. And then Stella disappears. She kind of leaves, you know, a note for Desiree that says, hey, I've got to do this. I have to start my own life. And they're separated. They're probably 18-ish, 19-ish at the time. And then their lives take very, very different paths. Desiree marries, I want to say, like a CIA, FBI agent who's African-American and very dark-skinned, which is a big deal in this book. And they have a daughter named Jude who's very, very dark-skinned. She took after her father. Stella, on the other hand, they're identical twins, mind you, but Stella is so light and learns to present herself. She gets a job. It's almost accidental, her first passing. She gets a job. She almost doesn't apply for it because she knows they won't hire an African-American. This is probably in the 50s, 60s.
Okay.
When it's
okay.
Yeah, okay. That was a question I could see burning in your eyes. I can't remember the exact time, but it's like 50s, 60s when it gets started.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize she's African American. She's so light-skinned that she's passing. And she rolls with it. Her boss ends up kind of being romantically interested in her, and he's a white man. And she rolls with it and lives the entire rest of her life as a white person. And super interesting. Ask me questions now, and then I'll tell you the rest.
So how much time do you spend exploring Mallard?
That's so very interesting. You know, it starts in Mallard, and then it moves pretty quickly. After they're in New Orleans for a little bit, Stella ends up in California. First in Boston, but then in California.
Okay.
And Desiree ends up coming back to Mallard probably 8 to 10 years after she left because she's bringing her young daughter. And the interesting thing about the storytelling in this book is that it's done all in the third person, but like the all-knowing third person. And it's almost like it's the town telling the story.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, it is cool. It's kind of, and her first book was interesting. It had like the women in the church. This is her first book, The Mothers. They were sort of the narrator that carries the story. And, you know, it's kind of like gossip tells the story. It's told like people watching Desiree come back with her daughter, you know, people watching them disappear in the middle of the night the first time that the sisters left. So it's very much the town is watching. And it kind of starts in Mallard with the town telling the story.
So I'm guessing the town is pretty small because that has that small town feel of you keep tabs
so
of everybody that, you know,
I just realized
leaves.
What this reminds me of. Yes, the town is telling the story. It's a small town and it's not even on the map, which sort of is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deal in the story. And I listened to an interview with the author and it's almost like, you know, the book starts there and it ends there. And in the end, it dissolves as a town, like the next town over incorporates it into the township. So it's almost like this mythical town that springs up for this story.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a good technique. And the book is told through different characters, but never in the first person. It's always third person telling about the characters. And it goes back and forth in time a little bit. and you have to piece together all the narratives. Like, so just when you think you're going to find out what happens to Stella, it switches to Jude. So it's told in pieces, which I love it when books do this. But at first, I wasn't totally on board with the technique. I think mostly because I was impatient. I wanted some resolution and some
to finish the different
lines. I needed to know. I had to wait, you know, to the end. The other super interesting thing in the interview with the author that came out that I watched was Stella's doing something that I don't know if it would be considered morally wrong, but it's a big deal to live your life as someone you're not, to always be in hiding, to not be your true self. And in books that have done that in the past, typically you're waiting for the person to get in trouble or get outed. Like, you're waiting for that big moment where the moral would be, you shouldn't have done that. You should have, you know, been true to yourself the whole time. And that doesn't exactly happen in this book. And the author said she's not really interested in the punishment. She's just interested in people exploring identity.
So, especially when you take twins and put them in very different situations and on very different life paths.
Do you get to see their perspectives on colorism? Like, does it ever dive into, like, what they think? Because in Mallard, it's clear that being light-skinned is good,
yes,
I guess.
It's super important to the people in.
And once they move out, does their perspective change? Is that why they kind of branch off on different paths?
Well, I think Stella, who's the one that lived her life as white, it was originally an accident, but it came, what came with it was so many benefits.
Perks of being white, especially in the 50s or 60s. That makes sense.
And then in California, she lives in Brentwood. When Brentwood is first a neighborhood, Brentwood, for anyone who thinks that's familiar, I think that's the O.J. Simpson neighborhood.
Oh, right? Okay.
So they were one of the founding families. Again, this is fictional, but they were one of the first families in Brentwood. And at one point in the book, super fascinating, a black actor is going to move into Brentwood. He's put an offer in on the house across the street, and the neighborhood association is all up in arms. And no one is more opposed to having a black neighbor than Stella. And it's grounded in her greatest fear that someone who is black will recognize her for being black, as where because she's living this white life, the white neighbors, it never occurs to them that she's black. It's inconceivable, but that she might get recognized or found out. So in the book, she's portrayed as a terrible bigot and racist, and that's kind of the root of it. Other things that this book, it really is about identity. There's another character in the book, Jude, who's one of the daughters, one of the twins' daughters. Her boyfriend is transgender, and that's a whole other plot line, so that's interesting.
Does the narrative only follow the women, really? Or do you get kind of perspective from the men involved in the story as well?
It's mostly women, even though it's not first person. So there's Stella and Desiree. So those are two big plot lines. And then Jude, who's Desiree's daughter, has a plot line. And her boyfriend, well, he's a major character, but it's more with her. He doesn't have a separate story for most of the book. In the beginning, when they introduce him, he kind of has a perspective. But otherwise, it's really the three women.
Do they ever reconcile? Like, do they ever see each other again?
No, I can't tell you that.
I was just
that does,
to
that
the
does
same
seem
thing,
like
though.
the spoiler.
Okay. But it does seem like that should happen, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the author said what you're waiting for in the entire book is Stella's secret to come crashing down.
Does it ever feel like you don't want it to come crash? Or does she make choices that...
As a reader, I absolutely wanted it to come crashing down. I wanted
it
to...
It is the more dramatic
option. And there is a hugely dramatic scene in the book where, you know, for a while after she disappeared, they looked for her. Like, the sister always, like, I know she's out there. What happened to her? She had a private eye kind of do a little, you know, exploration. So you're kind of waiting for that point in the plot where here's Stella and now we know where Stella is. And when you think it's going to happen the first time, when she's sort of recognized, the next chapter switches.
Of course.
So I'm like, what happened at the party? But it turned out it was a little anticlimactic in that sense. So it takes a little longer for the resolve. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it sounded like, if I'm remembering correctly, the sisters left Mallard abruptly, right?
Yeah, they left kind of like, I guess how it happened, their mom told them, this is another interesting thing, their father was killed. He was murdered by a white mob.
Oh gosh.
I can't remember if he was lynched or killed, but he was in front of them. They watched from the closet. So this huge trauma.
Okay, that makes sense, because I was like, it seems kind of weird to just up and leave your community.
But... Yeah, well, and they didn't leave right then. So then it was just them and their mother, and then their mother was a house cleaner, And eventually she came, the kids were like in high school and Stella was super brilliant student, et cetera, et cetera. And the mother came home and said, you know, school's over for you guys. I need your help financially. So I found you a job cleaning houses, you know, rich white people houses. And they couldn't take that as this is my life. They wanted more. Yeah. They wanted adventure. They wanted opportunity. So they, and like sad, they left their mother, right, in the middle of the night to fend for herself. So that's a, there's a lot of interesting things in this book.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting relationships.
Yes.
And what did you say that Stella ended up doing for her first job that she
She was
landed?
Like a secretary or okay. something. The other one was a, she worked for the FBI, CIA, one of those as like maybe a typist or a interview, a stenographer.
Okay, that's how she met her CIA
That's how
husband.
She met okay. her CIA husband, but she had to leave him and that's why she ends up back in Mallard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Stella was like a secretary for something, but you know, she was lovely and her boss fell in love with her, married her. And they built a whole life. And they also had a child. And that's super interesting.
Yes, it is. Well,
I'm believe, sure it's very important
yes,
to them.
Their child is named Kennedy.
Gosh.
Yeah. and is raised very rich in Brentwood. And at one point, this isn't too much of a spoiler, Jude, who's the daughter of Desiree, and Kennedy, who's the daughter of Stella, they actually meet first. And they're cousins, but have clearly no idea.
Yeah.
That they're cousins. It's good stuff.
This is how you end up with cousins who fall in love with each other and have no idea that they're related. Anyway.
Yeah. Never run away from your twin in the middle of
yeah,
the night.
Yeah, 23andMe, the DNA test did not figure into this book, but it is really interesting. And, you know, I was joking, a friend of mine read it with me. She did not want to be interviewed on camera. She did not like the book.
Really?
No, she didn't. I should take that back. She didn't dislike it, but she thought it was kind of slow and boring, and she wanted a little bit more plot. I think. Yeah. She had just come off reading The Crawdads.
Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah, and she really loved that book. And this one, I think she would give 2.5 stars. Out of 5, I'd probably give this one 4, just because it really is interesting, and the author really did accomplish some pretty amazing things, including she got an offer from HBO.
So oh, wow.
So Amy and I were joking.
This does seem like an HBO
drama
miniseries.
Like, if they take this to screen, it'll be super interesting how they cast.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cast an actress or twin actresses or like however
twin,
that.
Twins who could look be different, but one could pass and
yeah.
one could.
Because they're identical.
And it's a very hard casting.
It's casting, yeah. So I'm super interested.
Now,
in
are
that.
They are they identical twins or
yes.
are they? Oh, okay,
they're identical. But and that shows you know your identity.
Yeah.
One accepts herself as black and lives as black, and everyone sees her as black. The other one rejects that at some point, acts as though she's white, and people see her as white. So I can't wait. In the interview with the author, she said. They don't know how they're going to cast. You know, will they get twins? Will they, you know, get one actress to play both sisters? Or will they use, and Katie, I'm not going to get this right again, that kind of like computer enhancement.
You know, like CGI?
Oh, like CGI. CGI, yeah, I knew I couldn't get the letters right. They could use that to pull it off. So they're still scripting it. They're working with writers. She's going to be an executive producer,
that's
which is
good.
Really fantastic
yeah.
for
yeah.
an author. And I cannot wait to see
that's
it.
That's gonna be one, I think, that is very interesting. If you are interested in books like this that are very introspective and deal a lot with the small moments in life as opposed to large, exciting plots, as you said.
Yeah, there's no... And like, again, every time you thought this book was going to blow wide open, it doesn't. So it just keeps exploring the little facets of identity. But I really did enjoy it.
How did you find out about this book? Was it from the New York Times?
No, it was from Amy, who's not here today.
Oh,
she had just finished the Crawdad book, and she's like, I don't know who said it. Do you want to read a book together?
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about it. And I said, absolutely. And she picked this one. And I didn't know any, I had seen it. The cover is quite catching. So I had seen it, but I didn't know what it was about. And that's another really delicious thing to do. And as a librarian, it's hard to pick up a book that you have absolutely no idea what the plot is. You don't read the back or the inside flap or the reviews before.
That's how our coworker Chasley chooses her books. And every time she says that, I'm astounded.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
because then after she's read it, she does all this hardcore research.
Yeah,
it.
She reads it, and then she's just like, I learned everything about the author and about the history of the place.
Another
the book
address.
Was
no,
no it's, I call it going in cold. And,
yeah.
you know, as librarians, and I guess even as, you know, readers who are always watching for their next book, you don't often go in cold. So
yeah.
I went in cold on this one, and I was surprised, because then it's kind of, in the first few chat, you're trying to figure out
what
where this is going.
Yeah.
So
So you mentioned...
Oh, go ahead.
I think we're about to say the same thing. So you mentioned the cover.
Yes.
I know it's hard to describe, but could you give it your best shot?
It's super colorful. It looks like an abstract painting with just blobs of color, like really pretty blues and pinks and orange. But when you look at it really closely, you can actually see the silhouettes of the two sisters kind of overlaid on each other. It's a really beautiful cover.
A little bit of an optical illusion.
But it doesn't give anything away. Like, there's no, it's all abstract, so you don't have, like, oh, this is set in Louisiana or anything like that. So, and I think, what does it say? It was the Good Morning America Book Club book.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. Exciting.
So if you're looking for a good book
club looking for that.
Yeah.
It's a great book club book.
Oh, it definitely just seems like there's a lot to discuss
in
there.
It has a lot of issues and stuff. And you could, you know... Do you demonize Stella? Do you blame her? Do you, you know, were you disappointed that she wasn't outed?
Yeah. Like, how much empathy do you have for both sides of this?
The family. Yeah. And even Kennedy, her daughter, kind of comes off as a spoiled, entitled brat at some point. But then you really, you know, maybe develop empathy for her.
Mm-hmm. Stella sounds like she is supposed to be a difficult character to like. Did you find that you could empathize with her?
Not, like, understanding the basis of her, the way she acts is fear. So she 100% of the time is hiding who she really is, which has to be really, really hard. So it causes her to do some things that are absolutely disgusting and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But knowing that it doesn't excuse it, but that's where it's coming from this deep fear.
And self-preservation.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. If she was outed, you know, if her husband found out this whole time that she'd been living a lie, you know, she lies about her family when, you know, her husband and her daughter ask, you know, do you have a mommy? Do you? She was like, she said they were all dead. She never clearly talks about her family. So it's a hard, hard way to be. And that it's an interesting parallel with the transgender character, right? Who's also sort of undercover. But yeah, sympathy for Stella, empathy, medium. Like, you're kind of...
More at first, and then as she digs herself deeper.
She digs herself very deep. Like, there's many opportunities to come clean. But who would... So then you think, what would I do?
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if you've already married somebody and you know you're going to lose your job, your life, possibly.
Life.
And depending on the time period, very possibly your life.
The book starts, like I said, in the 50s or 60s. I think it's specific. I just don't remember. But it ends in, like, the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So you're still hiding your blackness in the 1980s, which I grew up in the 80s. That seems ridiculous, but right now we're in the 2020s.
Yeah.
And I see your point, right?
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting book and a great book club book.
Did you read her first book?
I started it. I never finished it. And no, that's just me. Like, it wasn't a reflection on the book. I do that a whole lot. But I did do probably 4 or 5 chapters of it, and it was really interesting. The way the church, in that particular book, the church kind of told the story. Everything unfolded through that. But she's one to watch. I mean, she's on fire, Britt Bennett.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's quite young and just really, really knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, an HBO series with your second book is pretty...
I thought this was great. At least you'll be able to buy a house now.
Yeah.
Because authors, it's not a profession where you typically
can make a
living and, you know, God forbid, get wealthy, but maybe she will. So
yeah.
I'm proud of her.
All right. I think that's all the questions I have.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
So thank you so much for bringing this book to discuss, and stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.